I'm joined in studio by our firefighting chef, Paul Knapp. Good to see you again.
I can't bear in gifts, so please accept this
beautiful.
On behalf of me.
Very good. Very nice. What are we talking about today?
Well, it certainly feels like the other day I was here. So today what we've made is we've made a kind of a mushroom orzo. Orzo is something that probably a lot of people won't know, and it's a pasta. So it kind of, in origin, it's kind of, its translation means kind of like barley. So they're actually, if you think of like a grain of rice, for you, you can obviously see it, but for obviously the listeners. So if you think about like a piece of barley, or if you think about kind of like a large kind of grain of rice, that's basically what it is. So yeah, it might be a little bit warm there. Just so you know, he's put it into his mouth. He's still alive. You haven't got any allergies to mushrooms.
A bit late now, isn't it? if they can't hear me using the, no, anyway. This is lovely. Go on.
Okay, so so orzo. Orzo basically is a pasta. So this is a pasta dish. Now, orzo itself is quite small, so it's a really handy thing if you want to kind of get, like, kids into eating pasta where they find that, say, like, you know, like the tubes of pasta, the penne or something like that is probably a bit too much for mother. I don't like pasta. It resembles almost rice, and you can use it as kind of like a rice substitute as well, but it is a pasta. You can buy it in all the supermarkets. It isn't something that's hard to come by. So you can buy it next door in the supermarket there, so there's no hassle. You don't have to go off and source it from some far-flung places like Limerick or anything like that. You know what I mean? Or have to go as far as Gareth and things like this. You know, you can get it readily available in town. So what we've done is I've done, I suppose if you want to incorporate all the things, we've got a mushroom orzo. I finished it with a little bit of truffle oil, and in it as well is some lemon zest, some fresh thyme. I'll have all the recipe up on the social media. But what you should get there is you get this almost, it's a creamy-like texture with that orzo. And then what you're getting, obviously, you can use any type of mushroom that you want. You don't have to use mushroom. You can treat it as a pasta. So if you wanted to, say, like, do a small kiddie bolognese, you could use that instead rather than have, like, you know, having to chop up spaghetti. So it's think of it as a pasta that you can use. You can also use it as a, like a thickening agent in soup. So say if you want to make a minestrone or something, you know, like before, say traditionally, like our grandparents would use, say, like a barley in a stew or in a soup or something like that, you can use that. Because it's starchy, it will start to thicken the dish as well to a degree. So you can use it in soups. You can use it cold. You can cook it, just rinse it off. Then you can use it cold in, say, like a salad or something like that. So again, rather than have that kind of chunky penne pasta or something that you have in a salad, you can use like that, and you can put through tomatoes, red onions and bits and pieces through that. So it's got multiple uses. So as I said, like, all of the ingredients will be up on the Facebook page. But how do you find that?
I think it's lovely. It's absolutely lovely. It's comforting. It's warm. Love mushrooms anyway. Love mushrooms anyway. How do you put it together then? And just on the orzo, it does look like small oats or whatever it is. Yeah. It's maybe a more manageable pasta for bolognese,
for smallies, absolutely,
for kids.
Absolutely,
especially,
yeah, because it's just something that you don't have to kind of chop up. And rather than trying to get in a fork, you can just eat that from a bowl with a spoon. So as I said, that what we've done, so start from the very, very top, is I just put a pot of, so you just salted water on, which is for my orzo, and you cook it like a regular pasta. Just bring the water to the boil, cooks in about 7 to 10 minutes. It depends. It will tell you on the packet how long they recommend you cook it for. And what I would say is if it says, like, you know, 8 minutes, just time it, cook it for the 8 minutes, because it will still have that little bite in it, is what you want, just al dente. So that's kind of that. You cook it as a regular pasta. Don't be scared of it. Just because it's a new word, it isn't a new, you know, we've cooked spaghetti, we've cooked all types of pasta before. Most people have lived off of pasta for a considerable period of time. And it isn't expensive. It's not like, oh my God, this is a super expensive thing because it's tiny. It's just the same kind of costs as pasta, like, do you know what I mean? So we treat that and we cook that as we do our any kind of a pasta, all right? For the actual kind of the sauce that I made, so what I've done is I've got a large onion. So I started off with a large white onion, and I finely diced that, and I've cooked that down in some olive oil with, again, 2 cloves of garlic, which I've really, really thinly sliced. So I don't chop up or mince my garlic, because I cook my onions down really slowly. I cook the garlic down really slowly, because I want to sometimes just come across this really soft, creamy piece of garlic that isn't, as I say, if you cook it well, it's beautiful. If you roast garlic, you get that lovely kind of creamy flavor, creamy texture, and that's kind of what we're aiming for with this. So again, I cook that and cook that and cook that, and then once it's been cooking for, say, about 8 to 10 minutes, the garlic and the onion on a really, really low kind of heat with a nice bit of olive oil in there as well, okay, what I do is I put in there some fresh thyme. Now, we had this conversation here the other week off air where we were saying about herbs and spices,
fresh and dried,
so there's normally kind of a 3-to-1 ratio. If you think about the dried herbs that we would buy in the supermarket that we get in the glass jars, They've been dried, so those flavours have condensed, okay? So if we were using fresh, we would use probably three times the amount of fresh than we would to dried. So if it says like a teaspoon of fresh thyme, which is a very strong herb, so like a teaspoon's quite a lot in a dish, we'd be looking at about three teaspoons, which is the equivalent of one tablespoon, of fresh. So if you were using, say, like dried mint, dried basil, dried oregano, whatever it be, if you get the fresh equivalent, it's about three times the amount that you'd be putting in, because it's in its freshest state. But once we dry those herbs down, we condense those flavours. They'll last a long time and things like that, don't get me wrong. But if you can use fresh, use fresh. If you can't and you can use just like the dried herbs, no problems at all. So into that then, I've got my onions, I've got my garlic, I've got my olive oil. I put in there probably about two teaspoons of fresh thyme, so just under like a level teaspoon of dried thyme, and I've popped that in there. And then what I've also done is I've put in there probably a good glass of white wine. And when I mean a good glass of white wine, I don't mean like a really expensive glass of white wine. I mean just, you know, like a nice amount of glass, like, you know, like a decent glass rather than kind of a little goblet size.
Yeah.
I put in a, you know, the size,
cooks out anyway, does it?
It does. It reduces down, so there's no alcohol in it. So what we do is we pop that in there, then we up the heat a little bit so it starts to bubble and boil away. And then what does is it reduces down and it reduces down and reduces down to it's almost next to nearly nothing. So you've still got some juice in there, okay? What I do put in there as well, which is really nice, and you can buy it in, I know you can buy it in some of the whole food shops, some of the kind of the health food shops, is it's actually like a mushroom powder. So what it is, it's a puccini dust. It's not like a magic dust for fairies, but it's a puccini dust. And what it is it's a powdered mushroom. So it will intensify the flavour of the mushrooms that we're going to put in there as well, okay? So what we do is, we do our onions, we do our garlic, and then we put in our mushrooms, okay? So I put in about 500 grams of mushrooms. I just use the regular button mushrooms because they were like 49 cent a punnet in the supermarket. So I'd pick those up. I'd pop those in there, cook those out as well for a little bit. Then I put the wine in. Sorry, I missed that part of it, okay? And then once we've got all that done, so you can use regular button mushrooms if you wanted to. You can use like shiitake, you can use puccini, you can use whatever you want. But if we start to use those, they start to become an expensive dish, which is just pasta and mushrooms at the end of the day.
For the likes of porcini, they're stronger as well?
They would be, yeah. There was a slight different flavours, but what we can do is we can almost do like little cheats. So at the end of the dish, what we could do is we can buy like the dried porcini mushrooms that you get in the little bags and stuff like that, or you can buy the fresh, you can get like a medley of mushrooms next door as well, where there's two or three different types of kind of, call them wild mushrooms at the end of the day. And what we can do is we can just gently pan fry those and we can finish the dish with those. So you would just literally just kind of just pepper them on top of the dish, so you still have, you know, the benefit of that flavour, but underneath it is like the cheaper version. It's kind of a cheat, you know what I mean? So as I said there, we sweated off our onion, sweated off our garlic, we sweated off our mushrooms, we put in our white wine, we've reduced that down, and then what I put in there, say, is our fresh thyme. Then I've added in there a little bit of the truffle oil just to kind of just infuse some truffle flavour into that. And then what I've done is I've added into there, you can buy it, again, you can buy it in the supermarkets, it's a plant-based cream. Okay, so it's like a double cream, so it behaves the same. You can whip it up, you can put it into sauces, you can put it into soups, you can put it into dishes like this. So I put in there, it's the tub, I think it's 270 milliliters of that goes into that dish. And again, so what we got then is this creamy, white, winey mushroom sauce. And again, we just reduce that down ever so slightly, reduce that down. It starts to get ever so slightly thicker. Then all we do is I take my orzo that's cooked, I just literally drain that off into a pan, into a colander. I put a little drizzle of olive oil in there. I put a little bit of black pepper, a little bit of salt in there, okay? And then what I've done as well is I've just got the zest of a lemon. So I've just zested a lemon into orzo. And I've just tossed that there. The orzo's then just waiting ready for the dish. And then once my sauce is, I've checked my seasonings, I've checked my flavours, I've checked everything that I'm happy with. If you wanted to, you can lob in a little bit of Parmesan at that point if you wish. So that's optional. I use a plant-based Parmesan, again, readily available from all supermarkets. You can either get the little wedge that you can grate, or you can shave with like a potato peeler. Or what I do is you can just buy the pre-ground Parmesan, which I use a lot in cooking, and I use the kind of the block for just finishing. So you can put some Parmesan if you want. If you were, probably about a tablespoon of Parmesan goes in there as well. And then once we've done that, take your orzo, lob that into the dish, stir that all around, and all of that kind of that creamy sauce gets absorbed into that orzo. And then what I've bought is, and I suppose it's like an investment, because people say, oh, it's quite expensive, is a good truffle oil. And I would say to people, you know, they say about like a good olive oil or a good truffle oil, there is an expense attached to that. And you can say, well, yes, there is. It might cost you sort of like 15 euros or so. But people would spend maybe 8 to 15 euros on a bottle of wine, which they would drink in an evening. Now, if you was to buy this bottle of kind of truffle-infused olive oil, it's going to last you, you'd get months out of it. Do you know what I mean? So from an investment point of view, you get longevity out of that product in comparison to saying, well, it's expensive, but you say, yeah, you're going to spend a tenner on a bottle of wine. So it's kind of all relative. Do you know what I mean? If you're into cooking, it's a nice thing to have in the larder that you can just pop out and just finish a dish, because it gives it a lovely taste just to finish it. You can use it on pizzas, you can use it on whatever else. So it's there and it's really nice to have. And it's, I suppose it's like a little indulgence. Have a well-stocked larder and then you can pretty much cook anything, or you can transform something that's quite basic into something that tastes really, really well
and far more economical than getting the fresh truffle, which is fantastic, white or black. Which is more expensive, the white or the black?
I think it's the, is it the white one, I think, is it?
White one is it's a bit more rare, but that's big money. So a bottle of truffle oil is actually a good investment.
It is, and it's only a small little shaving of truffle oil, of truffle that goes into that oil, but it does give the next level of flavour. It's lovely if people have, like, people have it on scrambled eggs or scrambled tofu. You can have it on whatever you want. But I say this dish is, I say, it's 100% plant-based. So the creams that we've using, the butters that we're using, the cheeses that we're using, mushrooms is just mushrooms at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, you can big them up if you want to and call them a plant-based mushroom, but a mushroom is a mushroom. Great source of vitamin D. If you're going to use your mushrooms, don't pop them into the fridge. Leave them on a windowsill, because they actually absorb sunlight. They'll actually absorb vitamin D.
Oh, pretty good.
So yeah, they're like little kids, and they're really, obviously really good for us, especially as we're coming into autumn and winter time. So there, basically what you've got then is you've got this beautiful orzo. It's that lovely creamy, finished it there with some mushrooms, some truffle oil, a little bit of lemon zest and some fresh thyme. Really, really simple, really straightforward.
Lovely creamy texture, but doesn't taste over creamy. It's really, really nice. Is that a starter dish? It's a I think that's a comfort dish.
I think, like, as you said there, right, there shouldn't be rules attached to food. Life is complicated enough. There's so many rules going on in the world, do you know what I mean? So I think that if we were to turn around and say, you know, this is whatever it be, then we can only have it for whatever. You can use that as a starter, absolutely. I think pasta itself really is normally in small portions. We've kind of taken it and we put this huge big bowl of pasta and we'll eat it, do you know what I mean? So it normally was kind of like in small starter size pieces, which is really kind of where we're aiming from, portion control and portion size, obviously. So yes, you could have that as a small little starter, small little bowl, because if we're going to use an expensive ingredient and if we reduce the size of what we're going to be doing, it's obviously going to reduce cost as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So if you want a huge bowl of pasta and you're going to use a huge bowl of puccini mushrooms, then it's going to be very expensive. But if we kind of put that down to, you know, like the ramekin size, kind of size of a little portion, again, you can use that the next day. If it's kind of really nice and sticky, you could use that almost to make like arancini as well if you wanted to. So rather than the rice, you've got the orzo. So yeah, you could have it as a starter, you could have it as a main, you could have it as a cold dish. It's really lovely cold. It gets nicer as it goes on. And again, as I said there the other day, if you're going to cook something, cook smart. So if you're going to make something, double that, what I said there. So two onions, you know, four cloves of garlic, you know, sort of like maybe half a kilo to a kilo of mushrooms goes in there. A good glass of wine, a couple of pots of cream, maybe a bag and a half of the orzo, excuse me.
Yeah.
Because what will happen then is you're now ready for tomorrow. So you've also made another dish, you know what I mean? So it's about cooking smart. So you can cook it, as I say, I cooked this morning. So I was cooking that 8 o'clock. So dinner's ready for this afternoon, do you know what I mean?
Already.
I've got huge brownie points, you know what I mean? Don't worry about it, love, I'll cook the dinner. I mean, it's all sorted, like, it's brilliant.
Loads left over after you've fed me, fair play.
So you can fit it into wherever you want in your day.
So mushroom and a truffle orzo with fresh thyme and lemon zest, Paul Knapp. Thank you very much indeed. That's lovely, by the way. Thank you very much.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.